Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
It's time.
Time for Silver and Black today.
To the ground game. Touchdown, Las Vegas. We're breaking down the latest Raider news from on and off the field and bringing you conversations with newsmakers and record breakers. So hold on, Raider Nation. It's time to
get it on.
Here's your host, Scott Goldbranson and Mo Moulton.
Welcome back. Silver and Black today, an Odyssey original podcast. This is our weekly mailbag edition. Thanks for being with us. It is your humble hosts, Scott Goldbranson and Mo Moulton, back with you here talking everything Las Vegas Raiders football. We appreciate you guys being with us. Mo, I love the mailbag show. We have only done one since the car decision. We kind of wrapped it in last week. So we got some more car email. We also have some people who have some pretty choice things to say to us just in general. I'll read those too. I've taken out the expletives, but I will read those as well because some of them are pretty funny. But we'll get into that. But you ready for these questions now, man? Ready for the mailbag?
You mean everyone is not calling us great people who cover the Raiders and fantastic hosts?
No.
Okay.
Correct. No. They have other names for us and other hand gestures as well. So we'll talk about that. But we're going to get into the first question, right? Oh, by the way, before we start, if you like the podcast, if you just like it a little bit, I know most of you love it, and we thank you for that. Aw, shucks. But if you like it a little bit, just subscribe to it wherever you get your podcast. Doesn't matter where you listen, what kind of device you're on, you're in your car, you're working out, whatever you're doing, just hit the auto-download button, subscribe, and make sure you get it. That way, every time we push a show like this week, this is Friday, as we talked to you today, we delayed the show. Obviously because of the incident earlier in Cincinnati this week, we just delayed it by day. So you have a show Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then we're live tomorrow night after the game. Well, for some of you late afternoon, evening, but we will be live after the Chiefs game, Murph, Evan, and I on our post game show. So make sure you do that. And if you subscribe there on YouTube as well, you can watch us. All right, Mo, let's jump in right now. And to start with, we have one of our most fervent mailers, our guy, Gary Harkenreader. Gary Harkenreader, of course, writes into the show all the time. We appreciate Gary very much. He donated some awesome vintage Raider books that we're passing on to Raider Dad for charity.
Awesome.
So it's awesome. So we like to always mention that when we talk about Gary. But here's Gary. And of course, it has to do a little bit with Derek Carr, just a little bit. It says that he was surprised by the Raider performance. I thought for sure the Raiders would get shut out. One game does not a starter make. But Stidham certainly may have sealed Carr's fate. It could all hinge on his play against the Chiefs. So Gary still thinks there's a chance there that Derek Carr sticks around. He says if Raiders keep Carr, they will restructure, renegotiate his contract. There would be an open quarterback competition. Carr being a backup would eliminate the need to draft a quarterback this year. The Raiders could use that pick for defense. Keeping Carr as a backup would also allow Carr to retire a Raider. And that's from Gary. Mo, from what we heard David Carr say on the NFL Network, I don't think there's... With all due respect, Gary, I don't think there's any chance, Mo, that happens whatsoever.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening. I've said it on a previous show. I think David says a lot of things that Derek isn't willing to say publicly. So again, Derek Carr, as we've known him, he's not going to speak out against anybody that's wearing a Raider uniform or working for the Raider organization. That's just who he is. That's the way his loyalty runs. I think David has been the spokesperson for him, which has rubbed you the wrong way. And I think based on what David has said, Derek is ready to just move on. I don't think he's going to, and I brought this up on, I believe it was Thursday's show, I don't think he's going to make it super difficult for the Raiders to trade him. If he likes a place and that place wants him for his salary, I think a deal gets done. But there is the possibility that Derek Carr is cut. I just want to, before I go off on a tangent, I just want to say that weeks ago or a month ago, I said there's no way the Raiders cut Derek Carr for cap space, and I stick to that. But if Derek Carr makes things difficult and gives them no choice but to cut him, then that's what they have to do. But to answer Gary, I don't think there's any chance right now. I think that ship has sailed. I think both sides are just looking toward moving in opposite directions, different directions, because I don't want to say this is an irreparable relationship, because you never say never. But I think with the way, as you said, Jared Stidham has played, who knows, maybe the Raiders have an idea of what they want in free agency or in a draft. I think it's just they're going to part ways.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And here's my question for you, though, Mo, because Gary does bring up a good point, which I've heard other Raider fans talk about, which is like, hey, if Stidham works out and you, I mean, again, it's going to be off two games. I don't know if two games is enough to say this is our guy for the rest of eternity. I joke, but you know what I'm saying? This is our guy moving forward for our franchise quarterback. If that's the case, and then you, let's say they do go out, we talked about on yesterday's show, the case for Tom Brady coming in and playing for the Raiders. If they were to do something, Tom Brady, Jimmy Garoppolo, maybe one of those veteran quarterbacks to come in, then, and Jared Stidham as a backup, because he's done well as your number two, and you don't draft a quarterback, the Raiders there are in an interesting position to me, Mo, because if you bring in Tom Brady and he recruits other guys, as we talked about scenario yesterday, and you get the roster in a really good shape where it's making the playoffs next year, and you have Brady and you have Stidham, what do you do 5 years down the road? Like, who's your quarterback? So then you're back to basically the same position you're in. Yes, you're winning instead, but you still don't have your long-term franchise quarterback if Stidham is not that guy.
That's a good question. I will say I'm not in these GM head coaching rooms, but I'm pretty sure if you bring in Tom Brady, you're not worried about 5 years down the line. You're thinking, I got to win to save my backside now.
Yeah.
Because we'll worry about the other stuff later. We'll worry about 2025, 2026 down the line. But to your point, yeah, if they get Tom Brady, then you square one once he steps away from the game in 1 or 2 years. So you, in a sense, you're back to square one. But I think that, again, if you're bringing in a Tom Brady, it's about now. And this goes to my point about people saying, well, Derek Carr is being, and I said I didn't like that term for it, because I like the, I guess I like the term sacrificial lamb.
Yeah.
Sort of in a sense, even though that may be a synonym, because even Derek is paying the immediate consequence of being shipped out, we assume. I think Josh McDaniels is still going to feel heat. So there's a delayed consequence for him, where I think he's going to have a much shorter leash. So if the Raiders start off 0-5 next year, I think there's a possibility Mark Davis says, you're not a head coach in this league. Right. You're an offensive coordinator. We need to do something. We need to pivot. So I think Josh McDaniels is going to be under a lot of pressure, which brings up the whole Tom Brady discussion. Who's the guy you're going to trust save your butt when you're on the when it's on the hot seat?
Yeah.
And it's the guy you've worked with for 13 years in New England.
But he is the coach. He's not the GM, right? The GM has to make that. I mean, yes, the coach has obviously strong influence. They're very close to one another. It's going to take some astronomical bad play for Dave Ziegler to fire his buddy. I mean, let's face it. That's true. Fans have said that, and I agree with them. Unless Mark Davis, to your point, if you go 0-5 to start the season, no brainer. I mean, you can't defend that. Because then you start worrying about your own job. And as much as he's your buddy, you want to be out of a job too, your first GM job, and then you're not going to get another one again. So I get that piece of it too. Very, very good points. And so to me, that's the thing, is the win now. he's got to kind of win now. But at the same time, if that's the case, and maybe, just maybe, and again, I'm not playing in this. This is not my belief set. I'm just playing devil's advocate here. Maybe they really believe 3-4 years down the road that Jarrett Stidham is the guy. Even if you go get Tom Brady now, maybe they think, well, you know what? Yeah, he could play now, but I need to win now, so I'm going to go get Tom Brady for a year or two. But what we see from Stidham against the Chiefs tomorrow on Saturday, maybe they already believe it, Mo. I mean, they brought him here.
They did. And this goes back to my point. And I know fans are not going to want to hear this, and they're going to plug their ears and go, la, 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 I don't want to hear this. But to add a solution to your question, what do they do 4 or 5 years down the line? This is why I suggest that an outside-the-box thought is they bring in Mac Jones, because you can keep him beyond 2 to 3 years. He's not going to retire, you know.
Correct.
We assume he's a young guy. He's still in the early stages. So you can win games with him now, because the Patriots did that with him. Josh McDaniels did that with him in New England. Patriots were 10-7 with Josh McDaniels calling the plays for Mac Jones. Mac Jones is a Pro Bowler. So while people poo-poo Mac Jones is trash, Mac Jones is garbage, as I reiterate, he has a former defensive coordinator. He has a former defensive coordinator calling plays for him. What do you expect? He's a young quarterback who doesn't have an experienced offensive coordinator, play caller. So, of course, he was going to take a step back. I wrote countless articles about this past offseason that the Patriots coaching situation. There was a report, I believe, on Tuesday that Robert Kraft is not happy with the play calling situation. So they know they have to fix something. They know, even though the Patriots offense doesn't look good, it's not all on Mac Jones. Just like we say, it's not all on Derek Carr, but they have a much more. They don't even have an offensive play caller on staff. So before you poo-poo Mac Jones is being trash, let's just remember he played pretty well under Josh McDaniels.
Sure. People still won't listen. All right, that was our first question. Gary, we appreciate it. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get back to your questions. You're listening to the weekly Raider Nation mailbag show here, Silver and Black Today, in Odyssey Original Podcast. Don't go anywhere.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back. Happy Friday, Raider Nation. It is the Raider Nation mailbag with Scott and Mo here on Silver and Black Today, an Odyssey Original Podcast. If you don't already subscribe to the podcast, please do us that favor. Wherever you get your podcast, just find it. Subscribe to on the auto download. That way it's pushed to you every time. We've had shows Wednesday, Thursday, and now Friday. And then we will have our live show after the game tomorrow, Raiders versus Chiefs. Okay, Mo, let's jump back in. We got a great long email. I can't read it all on the air, but our longtime listener, Frank Diftari, shared his story about some workplace, some personal struggles. I want you to know we both read it. We understand it. And God bless you, man. Thank you so much. But I'm gonna shorten this and get to the point for the listeners out there, which is, you talked a lot about your life and your workplace and how you've worked in toxic environments and what it did to you. And so that was related to Derek Carr. And you mentioned this question. You talked about Mark Davis and how that the Raider organization, just like David Carr asserted, and he was right, has been very dysfunctional, not only since Al Davis died and Mark Davis took over, but even before that, in Al Davis's final years, when he was not completely healthy, things seemed to fall apart a little bit. And so Frank asked this question, Mo. He says, do you actually ever think that the Raiders will have an elite organization with Mark Davis. And his point there is, do you think the Raiders can ever win with the way the franchise has been run? And it's a valid and a good question. And so I'll let you start on that one, knowing what we know now with not only Mark Davis still as the owner, but who he has in place to run the franchise on a day-to-day basis. And that, of course, is Dave Ziegler and Josh McDaniels.
So I'm getting up there in age, but I seem to remember an emailer. She asked the question about why isn't Mark Davis getting enough blame for how the Raiders mm-hmm. have mm-hmm. been dysfunctional over the past few years, several years. And I say because, you know, the owner's not going nowhere. He can only fire himself. No one can fire him. Right. But to answer the emailer, I will say that it's going to be different. Mark Davis hasn't made the best football decisions as far as logistically getting the Raiders to Vegas. Great. Business-wise, great. But hiring, I mean, you can't blame him for John Gruden having to resign. That was on, you know, he's kind of thrown under a bus in an investigation. So who knew that was going to happen? The Raiders were kind of minimally improving, but it took a while. But Gruden's his draft picks and giving Gruden full autonomy, to me, was the mistake, right? And now you're hoping that Mark Davis is able to step away and let the football guys handle things. So right now your hope is that Mark Davis hired the right people.
Yeah.
And so far it's fair to doubt if he hired the right people because –
we don't know.
We have criticized Josh McDaniels, and to this point, I don't think Josh McDaniels, you can say Josh McDaniels is a good head coach.
Right.
5 blown leads in the second half. That's not all their card. That's a lot of that. That's on Josh McDaniels. So
right.
To this point, we have to question Mark Davis's hiring, and is he putting the right football minds in place to get this organization in tip-top shape? And I will never say never that this organization will never be a world-class organization because, you know, things change. Things can change in a matter of a year. But Mark Davis hasn't given us a reason to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. And I go back and forth on this because I see both points. I see, to your point about Mark Davis, the move to Las Vegas, the increase in value of the franchise, it's in a much better financial mm-hmm. position than it's ever yes. been in the history of the franchise. So I get that piece of it. I also look at the Derek Carr situation as a piece of progress because supposedly Mark Davis let his football people decide. In the past, we know, and Mark Davis admitted last year that, hey, you know, I'm finally letting people do what they're supposed to. I was meddling a little too much. And he admitted that. And he said, now I'm letting the football people do it. Now, he did that with John Gruden, and it really screwed his team because the drafts were terrible. And that's why you see the Raiders in the position they are right now. So he didn't make a good decision there. John Gruden was his kind of holy grail of people to run the organization. And it turns out that was a bad choice, not because of the email thing, that's separate, but just because of how the football operation was run. Then you have the situation with Ziegler and McDaniels. And I agree with you. We don't know yet where they're at. So the question then becomes, can Mark Davis do it? Can he pick the right people? And the answer is, the jury is out. If he doesn't do it this time, then I would tell you I don't think there's much of a chance of it ever happening because he said he's self-evolved, he's gotten better and all this kind of stuff. But if you can't choose good people and you can't read people and you don't have – or you don't turn it over to somebody completely different – than you, meaning that the owner is basically a completely hands-off owner, doesn't hire the GM, doesn't hire the president, which not many owners do, but there are a couple organizations that do that in sports. If you're that kind of owner, then maybe, but if not, it's hard to say, Mo, because you just have to go on these years and years of history.
If McZig flops, Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler, if this tandem flops, Mark Davis is going to have to get some other people in his ear and help him make decisions because you at this point you move off of Derek Carr, you waste good years of Davante Adams, Max Crosby. That's what happens with Darren Waller and Hunter Renfrow. But it's not like the Raiders don't have good players on their roster. They should be winning a lot more games than they have been.
Correct.
So you look at the coaching. And that's the next thing, the coaching and the setup of the team, which GM is in charge, the free agent signings, the re-signings, the draft. If you don't hit, if the Raiders don't hit on some of their draft picks, premium draft picks and free agents, that's a huge problem. That's a huge red flag.
It is. And so I always say this too in conversations with my buddies when we're hanging out and watching whatever it's baseball, basketball, football. And that is, you cannot, I don't care what coach you hire, what GM you hire, you can't overcome bad ownership. I mean, your beloved Knicks are a great example of that, correct?
yes.
along with some, I mean, listen, the Lions seem to be getting better, but the Fords, they might make good cars. I don't know, but I can tell you that that has been a disastrous ownership. They have not won ever. There's great examples of bad owners. They've even chased some out of the NFL for racial issues, for sexual harassment, all this kind of stuff. We still have one, obviously, in Washington that's like that. But nonetheless, you have bad owners. And when you have a bad owner, just like if you have a bad run business, they tend not to stay in business. Now, the NFL is different because there's just money pouring in all the time. But if Mark Davis can't be the CEO that picks the right people to run the organization, then yeah, then you're screwed. But Frank, I want to tell you again, go ahead.
Really quick, Scott, just look at the recent Super Bowl teams that have won.
Yeah.
The Rams, the Patriots, the Eagles, the Chiefs. Do you see chaos?
Never.
Up above ownership front office?
Nope. No. Other than unspoken things happening at massage parlors? No. I got to hit the Patriots.
As far as football's concerned, you got to dig at the Patriots.
No, you had to make sure you specifically excluded football from that question. But anyway, that's where I'm. But Frank Deftari, thank you, man. We appreciate you writing in as well. Here's another one. And this one, Mo, you're going to like too, because this is Jonathan. Jonathan says, you guys are terrible. So he starts with a compliment.
We are.
And he says, Mo is a closet Jets fan and Scott is a Charger fan. This is the worst show I've ever seen. That's Jonathan. Thanks, Jonathan.
But you know what's funny? For the worst show, at least he's seen it because...
And he's writing us. He also tweeted at us. But he also, he took the time to write. So Jonathan, I'm gonna look right in the camera at you. I'm going to give you a little eye. We love you, buddy. You know you love us. You know you love
us. Yeah, he does. But I mean, if you
I don't know if you like us, Yeah.
If you hate something, why do you spend so much time on it? And there are things that I hate. I know I ate mint chip ice cream on the show. I despise it. I know I ate it on the show, but after that, I have spent zero time eating mint chip ice cream. So whoever sent that, I appreciate you because you're tuning in still, and that's a good thing.
That's a good thing. It's just really funny, though, because when you watch this show, we don't do any like fan stuff. I've been open since the day I got on the air, the fact that I grew up a Chargers fan, right? Which some people, it was a non sequitur, they never listened again. I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm objective. I'm not here. And I always tell people, go back 6 years, go listen to every single show. You can find them all online. Tell me if you ever find me being a Charger fan, if you ever find me doing anything that would give you any inclination that I was a Charger fan. In fact, I've been more critical of them than anything, okay? Because their owner is terrible. So that's what's funny about that stuff to me is they're quick insults, and I get it because if some people don't know the situation, then, I'm not going to listen. Because especially with all the great fan, and we have Murph on our postgame show. Murph is fan media, and he's really, really good. He is a fan. But there are some fans who only want to watch other fans, and that's fine. I got no problem with that. But we've always been, I mean, Mo, you're a professional working writer for Bleacher Report, Sports Not. Your job is to be objective. Your job, even if you loved the Raiders like you do, and you'd never know it. And that's the way it should be. You should never know it. And yes, occasionally I'll wear a Raider hat because I got it when I was on Raider Nation Radio and I have shirts and all this kind of stuff. I'll wear that occasionally, but I'm never going to rah, rah, rah. So it's funny that people take the time to tell you that they don't like your content. Whereas I know there's plenty of content I don't like. I just don't watch it. It's not for me. It doesn't mean it's bad. It's just not for me.
I'll just say I'm not wearing green and white here. I've noticed I'm wearing black and gray, black and silver. Just saying, when I'm on this show, I'm either wearing all black, black and gray, never wearing green. But I will say this. I will put this out there. And I think fans, if fans who've been or listeners who've been following me for years know that I grew up in a family that of Jets fans. Yes. I'm in New York City. So we didn't get Raider games out here. So
no.
My family would gather and they would watch the Jets over the Giants.
Yeah.
So I grew up watching. Yes, I grew up watching a lot of Jet games. I have obviously a soft spot for them. I mean, just like Evan Grote is a Raider fan. His wife, as you mentioned in a previous show, is a Bill fan. I'm sure he has a soft spot for the Bills because his wife.
And his kids.
Right, and his kids. So with my family, they love the Jets. So, I like to see them happy. I grew up watching the Jets a lot, but I did not grow up a Jets fan, just to set the record straight.
And that's the interesting thing about fandom, because when the Derek Carr stuff happened, and there were a couple fair rebukes that I received online when I was telling fans to just chill out. And a couple of the fans told me, don't tell me how to fan. And they were right. I was wrong, right? Because when you're a fan, you're going to do what you're going to do. If you get ridiculously insulting or something, that's different. But I'm just talking about how they want to react. They were right. I was wrong. Completely, 100%. And so... But yet you have Raider fans who say that, but then they will say like, well, how do you root for that team? I was like, well, wait a minute. You're telling people how they can root for their teams. You're doing exactly what you tell people not to do when you talk about the Raiders. So, yes, I agree with that. And again, I just love that they watch. In fact, it goes back to something, and I haven't listened to him in years, but it goes back to something Howard Stern said. And Howard said, listen, the reason I got to be as big as I was because so many people hated me. And he said, I loved it because every time I went to the bank and saw my account increase, it was because of those people that hated me. So how could I hate them? I love them, right? Now, of course, we don't make Howard Stern money, of course. But at the same time, it is what it is. But Jonathan, thanks, man. Thanks for writing in. We appreciate
you anyway.
We do appreciate you. Absolutely. All right, let's get off to our next email, if I can pull it up here. And this is from Rick. Rick is in Dallas, Texas. Rick says, I was okay moving on with Derek Carr, but again, I'm very upset with the way the organization handled it. I think when you have a player who's there almost a decade, they deserve to be sent off in a much more respectful way. That's Rick in Dallas, Texas. And Mo, we talked about this on yesterday's show. When you're going to bench a guy with the purpose of basically getting rid of him at the end of the year. And we heard from the story that we talked about on yesterday's show, Vinny Bonsignor wrote about how the Raiders had decided within several weeks after the beginning of the season that they wanted to move on from Derek Carr. I don't know how you do it more respectfully.
I made this point on Twitter on Tuesday, and I would like to hear from Derek Carr how he feels. Because we're hearing from other people, third parties, his family members, we haven't heard from Derek Carr how he feels about how the situation went down. And I think we won't know how he felt until his career may be set and done, because I doubt he's going to get up to the podium with his next team and talk about how the Raiders treated him.
Correct.
But I will say this. I just want to make a quick point about this. Derek Carr is not being done the dirtiest of players that have been traded or moved on from. Think of it this way, right? How many quarterbacks, how many players in the NFL on a trade?
Mm-hmm.
So Derek Carr has a no-trade clause. They gave him that no-trade clause. In a sense, I think that's the look. If we decide to move on, we're giving you the freedom, the liberty to pick your next job destination. How many people in the world could say, yeah, my job moved on for me, but they allowed me to possibly keep my salary at a different job? Like I said, if you want to keep it to NFL sportsmen, how many quarterbacks have a no trade clause and they get to pick their next destination? At least they gave Derek Carr that, okay, we don't want you, but you can pick wherever you want to go and we'll try to work with you on this.
Yeah.
So the fact, so to say that he's been treated the worst, to me, again, is blown way out of proportion, because I've watched Eli Manning. I've watched some guys fade out, and they don't, I mean, of course, they're at the end of their careers, but even guys in the middle of their careers, in their prime or just had a down year, how many of them got to pick where they want to play next on a no trade clause? Some of them just Correct. Got shipped wherever the team wants to ship them, that's where they're getting shipped. And to your point, to the email's point, Derek Carr is going to have his time in the silver and black sun. It just won't be now. They're worried about the business side of it. He will eventually get the respect and gratitude that he deserves from the Raiders fans, from the Raiders organization. I don't doubt that.
No, I believe that to be 100% true as well as long as he wants to participate, excuse me. But I also just bring up a point we made yesterday, which is he's not retiring. He's going to go play somewhere. They might face him on the field. So you don't honor a guy that might come kick your ass later or vice versa. And so you don't do that. You know, like Joe Montana left the 49ers and he went to the Chiefs. They didn't do a big long goodbye to Joe Montana. He played his last game. Everybody kind of knew it was. And then later on, he came back, of course, and they honored him. And I look at this situation, it's the same kind of thing. He's not retiring. Now, if he was retiring and they benched him the final two games, I'd be 100% this is disrespectful because you're not making the playoffs, right? And even if you were on statistically alive to make the playoffs, you still go with the guy because, you know, he's been there and he's your most veteran quarterback. But this is a whole different situation.
I just want to bring up a quick story. One of my editors, Wes O'Donnell, works with Bleacher Report, is a diehard Giants fan. Mm-hmm. To this day, he cannot stand Geno Smith. Why? Because Geno Smith was the guy that Ben McAdoo inserted into the lab. Remember Eli Manning had a streak of how many games he played consecutively?
Yeah.
They broke that streak for Geno Smith. And this is when Eli Manning was going downhill.
Yeah.
There were so many Giants fans that felt that was disrespectful. And I would agree with that. They weren't making the playoffs. They were out of it. They insert Geno Smith, break up Eli Manning's streak. People were upset. My editor to this day hates the Seahawks, can't stand Geno Smith. He said maybe he'll get over it, but he hates Ben McAdoo even more for that.
Right.
But I will say that, as to your point, if it was the end of the road for Derek Carr, then yes, I could see, you know, let him string it out, let him have his victory lap. But he, as you said, we're assuming now, based on what David said, he's going to continue to play. Mm-hmm. And you separate now, but when it's all said and done, when the dust settles, again, as I said, he will have his time.
Yeah, and your point about the Eli Manning situation with McAdoo was all he had to do was play him. He could have played him two series, and his record would have stayed alive. So that was completely disrespectful. And in fact, not only disrespectful, but a big FU, which is even worse. So I totally get that. All right, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, we get a couple more questions here on Silver and Black today, the Raider Nation mailbag edition for this Friday. You're with Mo and Scott. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Happy Friday, Raider Nation. It is the Raider Nation mailbag edition of the show, Silver and Black. Today, we are an Odyssey original podcast. You can also hear us on Sundays, 9 a.m. on 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas, if you like to hear us on the radio. Our voices get a little deeper on the radio because of the bass coming out of that for some reason. But anyway, you can check us out there. Make sure you also follow us on Twitter, Mo Moton, M-O-E-M-O-T-O-N. I am at LV Gully. The show, SNB, the three letters, SNB today, where you can interact with us and sometimes get us mad, but very rarely. But you could do that. All right. We're going to delve into the rest of our mailbag. This one is for you, Mo, and has nothing to do with food or dating. It says, Mo, if the Raiders can't sign Josh Jacobs, what do they do at running back? Do they go after a free agent or do they draft another rookie? Love you guys, Dennis in Las Vegas. So Dennis wants to know, what are they going to do if the Josh Jacobs marriage ends like the Derek Carr marriage end?
I actually think you didn't draft the running back because typically you don't want to spend money at the running back position because it's the position with the most turnover among offensive positions because a guy can come and go. He could be a rushing title champion one year and get hurt the next year. We've seen that with Jonathan Taylor. I know Scott hears that begrudgingly because Jonathan Taylor's on his fantasy team. But you typically don't want to spend outside money on a running back. You're typically looking for a bargain at that position if you can't keep your own homegrown guy. So if it's not Josh Jacobs, it's going to be Zamir White and probably another draft pick. I would say Zamir White should have gotten more touches. I know Josh Jacobs is playing out of his mind, but I just feel like they could have snuck in more snaps but Zamir White to see if he can handle the workload just in case they can't keep Josh Jacobs. But I would expect, and I know before, and I was wrong about this. I said Josh Jacobs would probably be out of the picture for the Raiders, regardless of what he does. It turns out we could really be wrong about this, because from what Josh Jacobs says, he wants to stay with the Raiders. And it is all depends on is James Ziegler, how much is he willing to spend on him? Josh Jacobs is probably going to win the 2022 rushing title. So a lot of us didn't predict that happening. So it was extraordinary circumstances too, that he comes out and he's probably going to be the rushing title champion. So that type of player, homegrown, coming off his best year, you want to keep that guy. I think there's a strong possibility they franchise tag. Remember, Josh Jacobs can be franchise tag, and it'll probably be less than paying him. It will be probably less than paying him $16 million a year. So I think that option is on the table. He probably won't like that because he wants that long-term security. But I think from a business point of view, the Raiders would be smart to franchise tag Josh Jacobs and possibly work on a long-term deal, and we'll see.
Yeah, and I think the franchise tag thing also helps them see, okay, so you didn't stay healthy any other year but this year, right, which you mentioned. So give him another year to prove it, and then you can give him a deal. So we'll see what happens there. And it's really interesting, and I'm not saying they're correlated. Maybe he just – I think I mentioned it a couple – it was on the postgame show, Mo, before. Maybe it was on Wednesday's show, where I mentioned that I believe – ever since the Derek Carr thing happened, Josh Jacobs has been much more vocal with the media from the locker room perspective. Not anything against Derek Carr or anything like that. Just he's been much more vocal. He's never been that guy. I think everybody's kind of defaulted, hey, Carr is the guy who speaks for the offense, and you let Derek do his thing, and the rest of us just kind of fill in. Josh Jacobs seems to be relishing and taking on that role and been very, I think, aggressive in saying that he wants to remain a Raider. Not just a, hey, yeah, I'd love to stay here. He emphatically states that he wants to stay there. So to me, that tells me if they can't get to a deal or they're concerned with it, that they do tag him. But is there a way to tag him where he's not going to get upset about it?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's what does he want? If he's saying, look, I want a long-term deal, I'm not going to be happy if I don't get one, then that could be a problem.
Right.
But the other point, to your point about him being more vocal, just remember the players pushed for him to be a captain late in the season.
Yes, exactly.
Now, he did say, I'm not going to go about business any differently as a captain, but I think hearing him talk to the media and hearing him be strong about, look, I want to be here, I think bodes well for him staying. Now, again, once negotiations kick off, things can get a little, you know, tense and sour, but if I'm Dave Ziegler and Josh McDaniels, I want that guy in a Raider uniform for the long term, especially coming off his best year. However you can get it done, you know, you keep him in house, because right now you can argue that he's the best running back in the league with Derrick Henry kind of coming down his numbers, Nick Chubb tapering off at the end of the year. Josh Jacobs has been consistent.
Yeah. And with a deal too, but so you don't hamstring yourself, you can structure these deals. I mean, the teams now have guys or women in house who do these contract structures, so you can back end a lot of the deal so it doesn't kill you. And a lot of that's not even guaranteed. I mean, there's going to be guaranteed money. You get a big, nice, huge bonus up front. But at the same time, they spread it out so that it's not going to hurt him. Knowing that even in Josh Jacobs with what he's doing, you know, 3 years, 4 years, maybe. So you want a 5-year deal, but you're lucky if you get to year four of a 5-year deal with a running back these days. So we'll see. All right. Dennis, thanks, man. Appreciate that question. It's a good one. We haven't had one about the running back situation in a while. All right. Our last question of the day before you guys all get to your weekend, and then tomorrow being game day for the Raiders. By the way, don't forget post-game show live. You can hear it or see it live on YouTube, anywhere you stream video, Twitch, Twitter, Facebook. And then within the hour after the show is over, you can also get the podcast version of that as well. All right. It says, Scott and Mo, I heard you guys say you think Patrick Graham is back next year. How can that be when his defense has continuously blown second half leads and just seems to be lost at times? That's Neil in San Jose. And Mo, I'll start with this one because number one, I had and I still have some doubts about Patrick Graham. But I will say that the defense overall has gotten better in spots. And I'm not in any way exonerating the defense for their poor play. But I will tell you that the lack of complementary football late in these games, this is why we've been very critical of Josh McDaniels. has been a big part of why they've blown big leads at the end, because they've been on the field so long, they don't have the talent to begin with. So you have to limit the time as much as possible when you're short bodies, whether it be injuries or just talent level. And so to me, that's why it's a nuanced answer. And number three, I would say, is how can you want a fourth defensive coordinator in 4 years? I think the stability issue there is he has to be given an opportunity with players who fit the system, who have a higher level of talent and upside than he has now.
If you look at the draft class, how much draft help did the defensive side of the ball get that was actually on the field for significant snaps? Matthew Butler and Neil Farrell Jr.
That's it.
You know, so you got to look at it as they're probably saying, okay, the defense didn't play well for stretches. It could have been better in certain areas, obviously. But we didn't give, outside of adding Chandler Jones, Daron Harmon on the back end, how much did we invest in Patrick Graham's system with new players?
Yeah.
I think anytime you bring in a new coach staff, that coach staff is going to want not to just inherit the players and turn those guys into Pro Bowlers or certified starters, but that new coach staff is going to want some of their flavor, some of their touch, some of their guys that they draft, they sign on that roster before they make a decision to move on from a coordinator. So I think he gets another year. The Raiders draft, go heavy on the defense in the draft, maybe pick up a defender or two in free agency. And then they see where Patrick Graham is before they make a move to fire him or keep him.
Right. And I thought we saw, and it's step back a little bit now with some of the injuries, but we saw that defensive line get better. Again, they don't have enough talent on the inside. When they injected Tillery there, it got better. And you saw Chandler Jones freed up a little more. He started to come along. And then, of course, Max Crosby is Max Crosby. So you saw that. But then you lost to injury Denzel Perryman twice this year now. And so it's been very inconsistent. You just haven't had the body. So I get what you're saying, Neil, because on the face of it, yes, they're giving up these late leads. But I think you have to factor in all the things Mo said. There was no investment on the defense. And I think fans overall, when they talk to me, they're right. They have to invest significantly in the draft on the defense. That does not mean they can't get a quarterback if that's what they want to do early on. But for the rest of the time and whatever other draft capital they're able to obtain, that's what they can do. I mean, I know linebacker isn't what it used to be, but they still need a key linebacker in there. Denzel Perryman, if he comes back, still aging, they need somebody there. They need safeties. They need cornerbacks. They need interior defense. And I think even another edge player. So there's a lot of needs there, Mo.
These are my three red flags for Patrick Graham as a reason if you want to argue that he should be fired. Mm-hmm. And we said this multiple times, two guys in that secondary who we thought were going to make a big leap, Nate Hobbs, Trayvon Merrick, regressed. They spent a lot of money on Bilal Nichols at that position. He was guaranteed $7.1 million or more. Hasn't played up to that contract. So they brought in a guy that underwhelmed, and two guys that we thought should be taking second-year leaps regressed.
Yeah.
So if you know, those are the red flags for me about Patrick Graham. If he's going to keep his job, Merrick, Hobbs, if they keep Bilal Nichols around, those guys have to play a lot better in 2023.
Yeah, and Bilal Nichols came in with, why am I forgetting his name, from the Bears, from the front office that came over with Ziegler.
Chip Kelly.
Champ Kelly.
Chip's in UCLA.
He's at UCLA now, getting players out of the MAC. It's very interesting, from the portal. But nonetheless, so yeah, I mean, Champ Bailey brought Bilal Nichols over, I'm sure, right? And so they took a flyer on him. That's not a good move for the front office either. So we'll see. But yeah, Neil, I think he gets one more year for sure. And we'll see with some talent, if they get him the talent he needs, and then you can evaluate. But to your point, Mo, those two players, Hobbs and Morig, going backwards is not a good sign. So there are definitely troubling. There's some smoke there. Let's see if it's fire or if maybe it was just a bad year. It happens that way too. All right, my friend, go ahead.
Stick Hobbs back in the slot if need be.
Yes, we talked about that.
Outside a lot. We talked about that. He kind of switched, not kind of, he played a different role this year. Played on the outside more than the slot. When he was good as a rookie, he's primarily in the slot. I would think that could be back on the table to move him back primarily to the slot position.
Yeah, and I didn't think about it too, but on the other side of the coin for Patrick Graham and that defensive back room is Amik Robertson has really emerged as a really good, solid NFL player, right? Mm-hmm. So he improved significantly as the year went on. And so that's a good sign. So you see, you can go both ways. We'll see how it ends up. Mm-hmm. All right, Mo, we are done for the week. I will be back tomorrow with Murph and Evan on the postgame show. We will talk to you next on Tuesday. The season will be officially over for the Raiders.
I'll be cheering and rooting you guys and watching you guys from the nearest taco spot in Brooklyn. So
there you go.
Team player over here.
You get much better tacos in Brooklyn than I get in Cincinnati. I used to get great ones in Vegas and, of course, San Diego when I lived there. But it's not a great taco town here in Cincinnati. A lot of sausage. I mean, I like German sausage and all, but it's not like my thing. I did find a couple good taco shops here, so I shouldn't complain. I got enough. And plus, I don't need any more tacos. So it's all good. All right, Mo, we'll talk to you on Tuesday.
We'll talk to you on Tuesday.
All right. For everybody here at Silver and Black Today, an Odyssey original podcast, including our producer, David Sipanian, and Mr. Mo Moten, I am Scott Colbranson. We appreciate you guys being with us. Make sure you subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. Also, head up on YouTube, subscribe to the channel where you can also watch the show and take part in our live chat there. Have a great weekend, everybody. Tomorrow is game day. Enjoy week 18 of the Raiders season. We'll see how Jarrett Stidham does, and we will be talking to you after the game. Bye-bye, everybody.